This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ثم ما بعد. Are you allowed to boycott your aunt? Are you allowed to boycott your aunt, Jama? Okay, your uncle. How about that? Are you allowed to boycott them? Are you allowed to boycott your nephew or your niece? Can you do that? So how come they cannot boycott you? You can't boycott them. Is it even possible? Is that even something in the life of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum waradhaam? You see, daiman, we always, when we talk about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we idealize their life as if they're beyond being human sometimes. But they're also human. They have emotions. They have feelings, they have emotions, they get upset sometimes. And this hadith is one of those unique stories that I'm not sure, if any probably maybe never get across this story here, about Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and Abdullah ibn Zubair. So let's hear the story, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hadith number 1859. An Awf ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, anna Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, حدثت أن عبد الله بن الزبير رضي الله عنهما قال في بيع أو عطاء أعطته عائشة رضي الله عنها والله لتنتهين عائشة أو لأحجرن عليها. So عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها, she was a very generous woman. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses her with, she just gives generously. Like she doesn't even calculate, seriously. She does not calculate what she gives. Eventually, Abdullah ibn Zubair, if you guys remember, he was the governor of Mecca at the time, or the Hijaz in general. So he got some news that Aisha radiallahu anha, she spent some money. It seems that she gave it as a gift, or she put this in a charity, but the amount was kind of like, to him, it was outrageous. Like a big amount. So he said something in that kind of gathering. He goes, she did that? Should she give this much? قال والله, if I was there, I would stop her. I would stop her. قال أو لأحجرن عليها. Says if she's not gonna stop, keep doing that. He said I will eventually stop her from doing that, or I will block her. Basically, what you call consider him incompetent of making any transaction like this anymore. Interjection, basically, put on her. This is it. She's not allowed to use her money without supervision from the state or from a guardian. Obviously, for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that's offensive, isn't it? First of all, she's older than him. She's his aunt. She's the sister of Asma bint Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anha. She was the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She has her al-Mu'mineen, so much in terms of status. And how dare Abdullah ibn Zubair say something like this? But the beginning, the first thing, ya jama'ah, where was the biggest problem over here? In what? Is it in what he said or what someone did? What did these people do? Somebody went to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and he gossiped Abdullah ibn Zubair over there. He goes, did you hear what Abdullah ibn Zubair said about you? And when Aisha radiallahu anha, she heard that, قالت, أهو قال هذا? Like, for real? He said that? قال هو قال نعم. I swear, yes he did. قالت هو لله علي نذر ألا أكلم ابن الزبير أبدا. So she made a vow. قالت I swear I would never talk to Abdullah ibn Zubair again. I would never ever talk to Abdullah ibn Zubair. I mean, what kind of nadr is that, Jama? That you say I would never talk to my nephew, I would never talk to my aunt, I would never talk to my uncle or my mother-in-law or this or that. What kind of a nadr is that to vow something like this? But Aisha radiallahu anha, she was hurt. She was hurt by that statement that Abdullah ibn Zubair did publicly in front of people, God knows how many, and who were they, and he was talking about her. Like as if he's saying to the whole world that, look, she's not even qualified to make financial judgment like this. And she was really, really hurt. So she made that vow. Eventually, that kind of like reached Abdullah ibn Zubair, who tried to reconcile with his aunt, and she would refuse to talk to him. She would never even allow him actually to come in, even though he's mahram to her. But she would never allow him to come in. He tried, he sent people to talk to her, to reconcile with her, and she said, no, not interested. I vowed, I'm not going to talk to him. So he kept trying and trying and trying. فَاسْتَشْفَعَ ابْنَ الزُّبَيْرِ إِلَيْهَا حِينَ طَالَتِ الْهِجْرَةِ when that boycott took too long, he tried his best to break that actually with her. فَقَالَتْ لَا وَاللَّهِ لَا أَشْفَعُ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. She said, I swear I'm never going to accept any intercession, anyone to come and talk to me about him. That's it, I'm done with him. He would never come to me. قَالَ وَلَا أَتَحَنَّثُ إِلَىٰ نَذْرِ. She said, I'm not going to break my oath for him. I would never break my oath that I made for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of him. فَلَمَّا طَالَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى ابْنِ الزُّبَيْرِ. By the way, keep in mind that Abdullah ibn Zubair and Aisha radiallahu anha, in that age, they were already old people. And subhanAllah, khalas, at that age, everything left for you is what? Your pride. You lost everything problem from the dunya. Nothing in this dunya matters to you at all. But your pride is the biggest thing. So Aisha radiallahu anha was holding on. She said, you know what? I'm not going to allow him to say that. Some ulama, they say, perhaps Aisha was upset for Abdullah ibn Zubair for many reasons that are legit. One of them, obviously, is that the status of Abdullah ibn Zubair, he's speaking something ill about the mother of the believers to the public like this. Even though it was a private actual conversation, but whoever did that gossip, Allah musta'an, he did a big mistake. That he conveyed that namima, and he did actually that, you know, kind of like statement to Aisha radiallahu anha. Some they say because Aisha radiallahu anha, she's offended by that statement because of who she was, the mother of the believers. Eventually, Abdullah ibn Zubair, finally he went to two of some of the elders of the Sahaba radiallahu anha, very well respected members of the Sahaba, the elderly of the Sahaba right now. Al-Miswar bin Makhrama wa Abdurrahman ibn al-Aswad ibn Yabuth. Al-Miswar bin Makhrama wa Abdurrahman ibn al-Aswad ibn Abd Yabuth. He went to them and he said, please, help me out. Find me a way to talk to her. She can't boycott me like this. Tell her it's haram. I'm her kin. This and that. Everything they tried. فَقَالَ أَنْشُدُكُمَ اللَّهَ لَمَا أَدْخَلْتُمَانِي عَلَىٰ عَائِشَةَ. Said, I swear by Allah, you will make me enter right now to Aisha radiallahu anha. Like, help me out to go in. That's all what he needed, just to get in. So eventually what they did, قال فَهِنَّهَا لَا يَحِلُّ لَهَا أَنْ تَنْدِرَ قَطِيعَتِي. Abdullah, he says, she's wrong. She has no right to completely boycott me like this. It's haram. She can't, you know, boycott her nephew. That's not right. Like Abdullah, he's concerned for his aunt. Like, I'm not going to allow her to go into this haram like this. فَسَيْقَالْ فَإِنَّهَا لَا يَحِلُّ لَهَا أَنْ تَنْدِرَ قَطِيعَتِي. So when he starts speaking like this about her in front of Miswar al-Makhrama and Abdurrahman al-Aswad, they both kind of like realize, you know what, you're right, we have to do something about this. فَقَالَ فَأَقْبَلَ بِهِ الْمِسْوَرُ وَعَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ حَتَّى اسْتَأْذَنَ عَلَىٰ عَائِشَةَ. So they both came and they brought Abdullah ibn Zubair with them. And they came and they basically asked permission to get into the place where Aisha is, radiallahu anha, because they have to, out of respect, to seek permission before they can get in. فَقَالَ أَسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. أَنَدْخُلْ. They said, أَسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Can we come in? قَالَتْ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ عَنْهَا أُدْخُلُوا. Come in. They said, كُلُّنَا, all of us. Now there were two speaking, right? But they said, all of us. Of course, she didn't understand what's going on. But they tricked her with that. فَقَالَتْ كُلُّكُمْ. Yeah, ادخلوا, all of you, yes, come on in. قَالَتْ نَعْمْ ادخلوا كُلُّكُمْ وَلَا تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَعْهُمْ أَبْنُ الزُّبَيْرِ. She didn't know that he was with them. فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا. When they came in, just to give you a perspective over here, and we request the parents to make sure that their kids are actually quiet during this conversation, جزاكم الله خير. So, just to get you understanding how Aisha radiallahu anha's place is. So usually the room is divided into two sections. There's the public place where the people who want to meet Aisha radiallahu anha, they come. And there is a place with wara hijab, they don't see her. That place is only for the women and for those mahram to Aisha radiallahu anha. So Al-Miswar ibn Makhrama and Abdurrahman ibn Aswad, they enter that public place of the house or the room. But Abdullah ibn Zubair, the moment he was allowed to come in, what did he do? He went straight in there. Of course, startling and surprising Aisha radiallahu anha. Like, ooh. He's mahram to her, of course, obviously. He didn't give her even a chance. He immediately hugged her. And he started crying to her. And he was crying to her, Ya Ummah, your mother, please, you can do this to me. And he kept basically holding her, asking her. قال فاعتنق عائشة رضي الله عنها وطفق يناشدها ويبكي. I mean, an old man crying for أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها. And he keeps saying, قال ويبكي وطفق المسور عبد الرحمن يناشدانها من وراء الستار. عبد الرحمن ابن الأسود المسور from behind the curtain or the barrier, they're also actually pressuring عائشة. Ya Umm al-Mu'mineen, you can't do this to him. That's not allowed. It's not good for you. You shouldn't be doing that. And Abdullah inside crying there, and the other two Sahaba just kind of like pushing her to accept from him, radiallahu ta'ala anha warda. So that he kept in that situation. Then Aisha radiallahu anha was quiet, obviously, because she said, I'm not going to talk to him. So he was keeping quiet. And they asked her, just at least talk to him, talk to him. So she started talking to Abdurrahman and Miswar, not to Abdullah, because her vow was not to talk to Abdullah. And she started telling them, but I can't do this. I can't do this. And they kept telling her, you know how the Prophet ﷺ forbade us from boycotting each other more than 3 days, and has been more than that for you. And that's, of course, it's too much, and you know that is wrong. فَلَمَّا أَكْثَرُوا عَلَىٰ أَشَىٰ When they were pressuring her too much, eventually she kind of like, she caved in, basically. And she said, قَالَتْ But, you know, I vowed, I made nadr. Like, I made nadr, I'm not going to break my nadr. I can't break my nadr, how do I break my nadr? And they kept telling her, but you're breaking it to something better. You break it to something better. I know the Prophet ﷺ said, if you made another and you found something better, you should break your nether and then eventually take that which is best for you. So they kept kind of pressuring her. فَلَمْ يَزَالَ بِهَا حَتَّى كَلَّمَتْ ابْنَ الزُّبَيْرِ Until she spoke to him. So she broke her nether. And now she needs to pay the kafara, obviously, for the nether. But radiallahu anha, because she was very generous, she didn't just free a slave or just, you know, give few charity here and there. No. أعتقد في نذرها ذلك 40 رقبة. She freed more than 40 slaves. It's like it's all free for that. وكانت تذكر نذرها بعد ذلك وتبكي حتى تبل دموع خمارها. And every time she remembered herself, what she has done, because she felt guilty that it was wrong to begin with, she felt wrong about it. Every time she remembers that nether, she would cry. Like, what have I done to myself? What have I done? فسبحانallah. That is just one of the examples that we see from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, which is an absolute proof that the Sahaba were human beings after all. There were incidents among the Sahaba where sometimes you couldn't even imagine that could happen between them. But again, they're the best example for us. Even when they're wrong, they fix it properly. Even when they are having issues, there is a way to deal with the situation that they're actually fighting over. Even subhanAllah at war, when they were fighting, there were still some incidents that can teach you adab even in such a situation like this. Even at war, they will just teach people adab of how to handle and deal with each other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all the sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala ajma'in. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring us with them in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Any question, jama'ah? Yes. Say it again. So another example, another mistake you're saying? Of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? I mean, there are many. I mean, there was even a time between Ali radiallahu anhu and Al-Abbas were fighting. To the extent they were yelling at each other, actually in front of Uthman and Abdurrahman bin Auf and others. And they had to intervene, says, take it easy, Jima. You can't do this. And they were, again, uncle and nephew, subhanAllah. There are other examples, but we don't want to delve into this right now. With the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu. Na'am. Khair, inshallah. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.